Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Let the truth
set you free.
You can't handle the truth.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
No. I am the father.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
I don't want to brag, but I will. I was in the Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
What is that?
Hasta la vista, baby.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Control Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Kenan, and thank you for joining us on our latest episode, episode 60. Joining me from the Creative Control team, as usual, my right-hand man, we have Sasha. And joining us for since the longest time, we have Chris on the show. Chris, welcome back. And hey, Sasha, how are you guys doing?
Hey.
Yeah, not bad.
I think I've grown like 3 extra hairs since the last time, you know, so I'm doing well.
Well done. Progress.
One, two, there is
it. No, it's good to have you back. And look, the reason why we've got Chris on the show today, it just had to be done because of his knowledge and his experience talking about this particular subject. It was just literally announced this week. We are getting a Legend of Zelda movie adaptation from the game. So Chris and Sasha know their stuff when it comes to this. I don't. I've never played the game, so I'm going to be very much handing it over to these guys for this show. I'm just going to be posing some questions based on the information that I know about the project so far, and these guys are going to run away with it. So we're going to talk a bit about the studio it's with, the producers, the director, the writer, what kind of thing we want to see from the story, you know, kind of like the maturity rating of it, adult themed, you know, kids focused. Family fun adventure, or whether we want something so a bit different, and maybe we'll have some casting ideas as well, so we'll throw those out there. But just before we get started, I just want to say thank you very much for being here. Thanks for watching. If you're watching, you're here on our YouTube channel, and if you're listening, you could be listening to us on any of the podcast platforms we're available on. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Audible, everywhere. If you haven't already, please make sure you hit that like and subscribe button on our YouTube channel, and hit that follow button on our podcast platforms. It'd be much appreciated. So I'm just going to give us a little bit of a background, because some of you may not be familiar with it, in terms of what this means, the franchise and the game. So The Legend of Zelda is a long established title from Nintendo video games, and Nintendo is developing a live action film based on The Legend of Zelda, and the creator and game developer Shigeru Miyamoto announced it this week. Sasha, did I get that right?
Yeah, you got that right.
Okay, cool, good. Yeah. Didn't want to butcher the name. And, you know, basically coming off the back of the success of the Super Mario Brothers movie, they want to start getting some more properties out there into the film world, and who can blame them? But obviously, instead of going for maybe a connected universe in terms of animation, they're going live action. And so Miyamoto said on his Twitter, when he announced it, he said, "This is Miyamoto. I've been working on the live action film of The Legend of Zelda for many years now with Avi Arad-san, who has produced many mega hit films. I've asked Avi-san to produce this film with me, and we've now officially started the development of the film, with Nintendo itself heavily involved in the production. It will take time until its completion, but I hope you'll look forward to seeing it." So the details that we know so far is the movie will be directed by Wes Ball. Wes directed the Maze Runner trilogy, and also the upcoming Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, the fourth installment of the rebooted franchise. One of my top trilogies of all time. Absolutely fantastic what they did with that, with Andy Serkis. But new director now, Andy Serkis isn't there. The trailer dropped a few weeks ago. Looks interesting. We'll have to wait and see. And then we've got Derek Connolly, who's attached to write. So I wanted to give a breakdown of what Derek's done previously and how we think that might impact, and whether you've got positivity towards it or negativity. So he's been involved in quite a few screenplays. And what I thought is, here, some of you might not know the difference between screenplays, story, and written by. So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a breakdown to kind of show how that works. So if you write actual drafts or scenes that are included in a final version of a movie, then you get credited with a screenplay by. It can be shared, but up to 3 writers or 3 teams of writers. So that's when it'll be a screenplay. Now, Derek's screenplays have involved Jurassic World, Monsters Truck, Kong Skull Island, Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Now, story by refers to the plot, the characters, the settings, and the tone, It differs from a script or a screenplay, only that in the action and dialogue usually isn't written out by them. It's done by somebody else. So a writer could be credited with the story by for a movie, but not the screenplay. And the story by that he is credited for is Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. That's the one that got the hairs on the back of my arms. and then basically we have written by, which is basically your story and your screenplay. So they came up with a story and wrote a screenplay, written by. And written by is we have Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. So that's a little bit about the director and the writer. Now, the Zelda movie is going to be co-produced by Avi Arad. Now, if you've ever watched a Marvel movie, you've probably seen that name in the credits many times. Avi Arad is an Israeli-American film producer who became the CEO of the company Toy Biz back in the 90s. And soon afterwards, he became the chief creative officer of Marvel Entertainment and the chairman, CEO, and founder of Marvel Studios. So he was involved in Marvel Studios and basically setting up to what it was to be today. He's got many, many producer credits from... executive producer. He did back in the day the Spider-Man and the X-Men animated series, along with many others like Iron Man, Hulk, and Silver Surfer. He's involved in the Blade trilogy, Daredevil with Ben Affleck, Hulk, The Incredible Hulk, Ghost Rider, Fantastic Four, or the X-Men movies, more recently Venom, Morbius, Uncharted, Ghost in the Shell, and every live-action Spider-Man film, along with this animated Spider-Verse. So he's been involved with Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and Tom Holland. So there's a lot of hits, but there's some real misses in there as well. The film is also going to be co-financed by Nintendo and Sony Pictures, with more than 50% by Nintendo themselves. So Sony will handle the theatrical distribution. So it really, again, shows how much Nintendo want to have the influence on their property, like they did with Super Mario Brothers. And the best way to do that is to say, yeah, we're going to put up a chunk of change to make sure that we have that creative control. So... bearing that in mind, some things I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on, guys. We'll talk about the, first of all, the idea of it coming to screen. So did you guys anticipate a live action or animated? What would have been your preference? Chris, over to you first.
We had, I think Satya and I had talked before, there was like a very gestational sort of animated stuff that went out in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, so that you can barely find clips of. But it was, I think we both thought of a series more than anything else, and a more sort of Game of Thrones style limited series over a couple of seasons. Satch will go into more about that. But, you know, the Zelda franchise is so big. You know, it's an OG franchise from the NES, you know, back in the 1980s. There's been so many different adaptations, so many different ways of playing the game, so many hit games. You know, the Zelda games are rarely a miss for Nintendo. They're never the tentpole necessarily, because it's always a Mario game that comes out, or Luigi's game with Ghost Mansion. But they always come out afterwards, and they always sell. Always, yeah, because they're well loved.
The last game sold over like 10 million copies. So
I don't know. I mean, the last couple have been system sellers. I mean, I know what you're trying to say. For oldies like us, it was never like the game that came
out. Release title.
But I think from Wii onwards, because you got to understand what Nintendo started doing. They started doing the game that's for the system. And then towards the end of the system's life, that would be the game that would come out on launch. So you had that with Twilight Princess. You had that with the Wii U one. I can't remember what it's called now. Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
And then you have, obviously, you've got the two new ones. Breath of the Wild, that was launch game for the Switch. So, you know, Zelda's probably, you know what, Mario is their mascot. But I think it's a fair argument to say that Zelda's probably their biggest IP, because, to be fair, like since Ocarina of Time, there's no dip in that franchise. Okay, no. Some people could go towards Zelda 2 and be like, yeah, because it was different. But you know what? Like, people still love it. You know what I mean? People still love those games, and it's still playing now. But, you know, I religiously play A Link to the Past on any system that it's going on, because it's one of the greatest games of all time in my eyes. And same with Ocarina of Time. I mean, no doubt that is hands down one of my top 10 games, period, you know.
I've played the original NES Zelda at least 3 times in the last 10 years on different things. I've played Link to the Past. I've completed
Nintendo. I remember you selling a modern day console just to get an NES, just to play that game. Okay, true story. This is like late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm.
And before I moved out, I think I remember doing it because it was before I moved out into the flat. So that would have been 2012. I had the TV out. I plugged in my Nintendo and I played that game. I could finish that game. Same with Link to the Past. I bought a mini Super Nintendo basically just for that game. I've got Street Fighter, but literally that is the game that I played and completed first. And then, you know, my son just got a Switch recently. Of course, I got in the subscription to Nintendo games. Bang, Zelda 1 finished again. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the game that I gravitate towards, because no matter how much you replay it or revisit it, it's still, because of the way it's made and the way it's been made with love for so many years, every game is a labor of love for Nintendo. They always put so much into it to make it. And usually, you know, Ocarina of Time was a groundbreaking game. You know, Link to a Past was we'll go into more into Link to a Past later on, because we will do, but it's a powerful franchise. And Satch is probably right in saying that it's become the biggest one for Nintendo in terms of sales, especially with the Wii.
Now the way it is with today,
the Switch now, Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. I mean, Tears of the Kingdom just smashed things. Yeah, it was ridiculous how popular
it
that game
so,
was.
Yeah, that's right. So basically, Zelda is Nintendo's second biggest franchise after Mario. But in terms of recent sales, you say, Tears of Kingdom broke the records for the fastest selling Nintendo title ever. And you got to imagine, you know, Mario back in the day in the 80s when that was selling, you know, that was hot cake. So the fact that it sold that quickly, there's the demand for it. So coming back, Satch, did you envision this as a live action movie, series, animated? Because I know we spoke on another podcast when we talked about sort of like the NCU, Nintendo Cinematic Universe, and what we thought that was going to be. So, you know, with the success of the franchises like Castlevania as an anime, could you have seen this as an anime? Or do you think that it suits the live action just as well?
So there's multiple ways you could adapt this, okay, for starters, okay? Mm-hmm. The Game of Thrones throughout that Chris envisioned, sure. But Zelda, here's the thing. My motto, Nintendo. Some people would like to see a darker version of Zelda. I don't think that's necessary.
No, not in that either.
Because when you think Game of Thrones, you think, oh, Game of Thrones, because it's adult themed, etc. Zelda's never been that. Okay. Zelda has never been that. It's goofy as well as it has some hardcore storytelling. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Nintendo have always kept it kind of like the balance. I think you could do a live action series. Definitely. I personally, this is just me aesthetically, I would like to go animated, like an anime. I don't even look at like movies, live action, as being, you know, a movie can be an anime. Akira is one of the greatest animes, animated movies ever made. Yeah, I mean,
modern anime is so good.
So you know, especially modern day audience kind of thing. If you made a Zelda anime movie or series of movies, people flock to the theater for that, you know what I mean, regardless. Okay. But then even if it was like an actual anime where it was like an ongoing series, which I think would suit the IP better personally, can it be done as a trilogy of 3 movies? Yes, it can, but it'd be a whole other way of adapting it, because there's no right way. Okay. And I've got to get into that and go a bit deeper here, and sorry if I hogged the space a little bit. It's just a case of, for starters, what people got to understand is The Legend of Zelda is a story retold. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people try to connect the games with timelines or, you know what I mean, stuff like that. But it's a story retold. It's a legend. Okay. So it's quite literally the Super Nintendo game is a remake of the NES game. You know what I mean? Just same story beats. Zelda's kidnapped, Triforce power. Is it power? Yeah, the Triforce of Power is split into seven pieces across the kingdom. He's got to go find them and take on Ganondorf at the end. You know what I mean? That is the basic of the basic of the basic of the story.
All the stories involve
all the stories revolve around this. Sure, sure. Before anyone crucifies me now, there are sequels or like, for example, Zelda 2 on the NES is a sequel to The Legend of Zelda, which has a completely different storyline. Majora's Mask also.
Wind Waker.
Like a, yeah, Wind Waker's like a different kind of thing as well.
It's out on the edge kind of thing, but it still comes back to the main Ganondorf's kind of story.
Yeah, so there are even most recently Tears of the Kingdom, you know I mean, and Breath of the Wild, they're similar in the way they're told, but like, you know, they go hand in hand with each other kind of thing. But
and that's the premise of the title, right? It's the Legend of Zelda. So
yeah, exactly.
So, it's like a mythos that's spoken about through time, and it's told by different people in different ways. Absolutely, you know.
Yeah. So in terms of a movie adaptation, sure, you want certain story beats to be the same or be how you want them in the game, but you also got to remember it's an adaptation kind of thing as well. So you know, that's the beauty of it in terms of coming for film. But obviously, with such a beloved IP, I think the reason why I said a series would probably suit it better for me is because you could do a series, have that basic story, that basic main storyline, but you could incorporate every beat or every, you know,
Castlevania does, like Castlevania focuses on different games in the series.
From all the games. And, you know, I mean, you could flesh out that lore and stuff, and it'd be really cool. Not saying a movie won't be cool, because it can be done. You'd be adapting it differently to how you would be a movie or even an animated. Now, the second part to this multiple part question is, what would I prefer? Would I preferred it to be animated? Yeah, I would have, because of how well Mario was. You know what I mean? Yes. So I thought maybe Nintendo were going down that animation route with all their IPs. That was my first thought. So I thought, well, I guess they're not doing a live action Zelda. I actually genuinely thought that. I was like, there's no way they're going to do a live action one, because, you know, people will come see a CGI movie if a CGI movie's good, and Mario made the big bucks. But they're going hard, and they're going with live action. So great power comes great responsibility. And all I've got to say is good luck, because if it's shit, they will, you know what I mean? It will be a big, massive fail. Now, I think, you know, good luck to them. I got no opinion on the director. Well, who's the director?
The director is Wes Ball. So obviously, okay, so I've never Wes seen Ball the Maze Runner movies.
He did the movies with the Maze Runner stuff.
Maze Runners, yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
yeah, he did them movies. But that's all he's really done. Sure, he's done a few shorts here and there. The big thing now, I've not seen Maze Runner, so I can't really speak.
Same.
Okay, I've heard they're okay. I've heard they're okay. I haven't heard, oh my God, they're amazing, you must see. I've heard they're okay. But I, you know what I mean? I can't really say whether he's the guy. Whereas Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, he's now doing Disney's Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Now, now, jury's still out on that one. Yeah, it was a great trailer, but it's built off the back end of three great movies directed by somebody else.
Matt Reeves studio, who obviously went on to Matt Reeves. Batman.
So you know he's taking the reins on that one. If he drops the ball on that, wow, people's perception of the Zelda movie is just gonna go,
there's a lot riding on this.
There's a lot riding on maybe, this.
But Miyamoto has probably seen this, and hence why he's agreed for this director. You know, maybe he's seen something there, I think, you know.
There was a whole tweet that came out, you know, he tweeted 13 years ago about it. And this is the thing, like...
That's right. He's someone who's passionate about it.
I was going to get to that. Yeah. He tweeted 13 years ago that if he had that Avatar tech that James Cameron's using for Avatar, he would make a Legend of Zelda movie. So he clearly has a love for the IP. So, or at least...
That's one
thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, this is... pre him even getting the gig or anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even yeah, he didn't know his thing. It's 13 years ago. Yeah,
exactly. It's like if I got the keys to a beloved IP I wanted, like, yeah, you know, years later, and now I've got it. It's like I wouldn't have been able to anticipate that. So clearly, you know, he knows the IP and really likes it and wants to do something with it. So we'll have to see how it goes, really. But, you know, at the moment, it's a watch, wait and see. Doing an Avatar kind of style, that's interesting. I don't feel you need to because, you know, if you're doing it live action, it's not like you're not like you're de-aging someone or do you know what I mean? Like doing like strange, crazy stuff, but then I don't know. Yeah, you know I mean, like
maybe he's thinking of the world, maybe rather than just the actors.
Yeah, I was gonna say, the thing about mocap and that kind of stuff, Avatar tech, is that, you know, a lot of the creatures that you're gonna address through the whatever story you take are quite fantastical, and I mean, some of the bosses in later games are just stunning on the video games. You know, I remember when I bought Wind Waker, and the bosses are, and then in Ocarina of Time, and then Skyward Sword, and all that. They are just so visually stunning. It's one of the things that's always gone into the game. So maybe the mocap technology would be better for realizing those non-human elements. You know, as Sacha's saying, like, you know, having whatever you go with, you know, it's a big deal. But, you know, going live action does limit you in that respect. You know, we want to make sure those special effects are going to be up to scratch. Because, again, not just are you going to judge it on the story, you're going to judge it on the effects if it's going to be live action.
The last thing I'll say on the director is my friend Colin, or our friend Colin, sent me a link to a short that he did called Ruin. Which he did 11 years ago. It was an animated short, and you can find it on YouTube. Just type in Ruin Wes Ball, and it's really good. I was quite impressed with that. So, you know, and that's directing animation. So if you can see, he's got an eye in terms of the visuals and sort of like the cameras, the angles, the shots, you know, is really interesting. So I think that if he can take kind of that and apply it, you know, we'll see. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, that's going to be the big thing that kind of shows us what he's capable of.
Can I touch on the writer?
Yeah, I was going to go on to that. So Derek Connolly, so he's up next in the discussion. So like I said, you know, he's gone screenplays with Jurassic World and Detective Pikachu, you know, which is great. Detective Pikachu is a really strong IP for that, you know, that really solid film. Yeah, it was a good film. But then we've got a story by Star Wars Episode 9. Which The Rise of Skywalker is one of the most polarizing probably Star Wars movies.
Polarizing? It's the worst damn fucking movie ever made.
We are on the same level when it comes to that, mate. We are there. But some people think it's either the first or second best Star Wars movie. Some people rank it right under Empire, which I don't get, but I can't go into that. But it's, yeah. So what do we think about this guy's credentials?
I just want, before Sacha gets off, you know, we've got to be careful about the Rise of Skywalker chat here. But, you know, you talk about, you know, screenplay wise, you know, so that just the screenplay, Jurassic World. Now, that was the first time back onto Jurassic Park territory, given that the first Jurassic Park, obviously, modern classic. Then you had two, I would say, you know, the second one, Lost World, not as good, maybe still writing wise, but more action. And then the third one was just not so good, you know.
Yeah.
And it was coming back into that franchise would have been quite a difficulty. The first of the Jurassic World films is the most coherent one. The screenplay works well in that film. Then if you're going to go into, obviously, the fact that he only wrote Fallen Kingdom and then wrote only the story for Dominion, you're seeing that stepping back away from
Fallen,
it.
Yeah, Fallen Kingdom, it was a story and screenplay, so it was always...
Okay, story and screenplay.
So
okay, fine.
Is where there's a concern for this franchise and IP, because that's all him. And then story is Rise of Skywalker. So he's like, yeah, I've got this great idea of where we should take these characters and what we should do with them.
On that, though, have to always, we can't Rise of Skywalker, but we have to acknowledge the pressure of Disney on Rise of Skywalker as well. Like, there, we have no clue what the pressures were like in terms of getting that to screen and how they did it, because I think we can all agree that bar Force Awakens, the influence of Disney has not been a great one on Star Wars. Bar Force Awakens and Mandalorian, you know, the as stuff outstanding. With Dave Filoni.
Yeah.
Well, Dave Filoni, exactly. So the point being, what I was going to mention was something we didn't mention.
And Favreau.
Was
he did sorry, the, I shouldn't say.
Yeah, Favreau. Yeah. But he did this, he did the screenplay for Kong Skull Island.
Yes.
So, which I really liked. And definitely. I thought that that would be just the first of the modern, the modern taking of Kong. And I quite like that film as well. I think if you're looking at his sort of credentials, you know, you're looking at the really good ones in terms of Detective Pikachu, Skull Island, Jurassic World, and then you're looking at some middling ones. You could say some middling ones in the way of Fallen Kingdom and other ones. And then you're looking at a couple more, obviously more recently, of Rise of Skywalker and Dominion. I mean,
It's always coming. It's always harder to come into the middle of a franchise, right? So yeah, you know, when there's going to be a
especially
new
after, film, especially after Last Jedi. Skywalker.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, it's always going to be difficult. Yeah, it's always going to be difficult to do that. So, but you know, like you say, you started well with Jurassic World. It started off with something new, and then when you try and incorporate the past with the new, it doesn't. It can sometimes fall on its ass, which that kind of did. But yeah, so it's one of those things that, you know, he's obviously got some talents. I'm not saying the guy isn't, but hopefully he just recognizes the IP for what it is. Hopefully he's a fan of it, and hopefully he can do justice.
Miyamoto's got 50% plus. There's a reason for that. There must be a reason why Nintendo have done that. They are never going to let this IP get out of any control. They are going to have total control over how that is portrayed on the screen. Otherwise, they're just not going to make it, because they never do stuff like that, Nintendo. They never chase. They always do their process, and they make the games the way they want to do. And look at Mario. You know, Mario was made the way they wanted to be made, and it's been a massive hit.
I agree with everything you guys said. I mean, like, as much as I loathe The Rise of Skywalker and think it's the worst movie ever made, fact, you know, there's a lot to prove here for him, for like a lot of like people in like, you know, these fandoms in it. But we'll see what they do. I mean, Nintendo, you are right. Nintendo never let up unless they think they're onto something. They are quite protective of their IP after the original Bob Hoskins Super Mario movie. They're not gonna, you know what I mean? After Illumination's Mario Brothers, you know what I mean? That had their seal of approval on everything, from the look, the design, to everything. So I don't think they're gonna pander to certain crowds. I don't think they're gonna, you know, insert brand new stuff or do stunt casting or any of these things that are buzzwords that, you know, Hollywood would normally do, because they're invested. You know what I mean? So that's
one other IP just before we move on to the other place, but the other IP that the writer Derek Connolly, the other IP the writer Derek Connolly is in charge of right now is Metal Gear Solid. He's doing the screenplay for Metal Gear Solid. So,
and he wrote Rise of Skywalker. All right.
So those are two big IPs that Sasha needs to be good. The pressure on this guy from Sasha alone is immense. So yeah, Metal Gear Solid and Legend of Zelda. So yeah, he's obviously mingling with the right people.
Big shoes to fill.
So my question to you guys now is, obviously Sony are involved and is being produced by Avi Arad. Is Sony the right studio for this, considering obviously they went with Universal and Illumination for Mario Brothers? Is Sony the right place for this, and is Avi Arad the right guy to be involved with this IP and franchise?
Controversially, I'm gonna say yes, Avi Arad is the right guy. Because here's the thing, despite what people have of opinions of him with his dealings with Marvel in the mid years of the early 2000s, He's the guy that gave us Marvel in the first place.
Yeah.
All right. He gave us the anime. Look, here's the thing. He wasn't a movie guy. All right. He came in because he handled IP. All right. He was a marketing guy for Toy Biz. He sold toys. Okay. He sold toys. He knows how to sell toys. Okay. That's his freaking job, selling shit. Now, here's the thing. How does that work in comic books? Okay. Well, Marvel, their storytelling got dog shit during the 90s. That's why they kept rebooting everything. They did comics to sell toys. Okay. And when they started getting into the movie biz, they started selling movies. You know, that's why you have
movies to sell toys. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's why you had dumb storylines in the comics. Like, hey, Norman Osborn's alive all of a sudden during the Clone Saga in the 90s. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because, hey, we're making a movie. We've got to make him relevant for that movie. Mm-hmm. So we're going to bring him back to life somehow for Healing Factor. All right, where did that happen? We'll explain it sometime, some year, somehow. We'll make it up. It's comics. You know what I mean?
Hey, and just like Palpatine, somehow he returned.
Yeah, exactly. Somehow. We'll figure it out later. But like, you know, that you know, that's what he does. That's what Marvel ended up doing after the Golden Age, from, you know, the 60s to the 80s to the early 90s. But that's a whole other rabbit hole. Fact is, he gave us X-Men the Animated Series. He gave us the Spider-Man cartoons. He gave us Blade. He gave us the first X-Men movie. He gave us the Spider-Man franchise. He gave, fair enough, he gave us Ann Lee's Hulk. Now, that's very controversial, but, you know, I liked it. I know Chris likes it. Mm-hmm. And, he did, you know.
Yeah, and the Incredible Hulk, too.
It's not that bad, but, you know, some people, it wasn't for a lot of people, and I get it because it's more serious tone. But fact is, he likes to sell shit, all right, and he tries to get the right people. You know what I mean? That's why we got Sam Raimi. That's why we got Bryan Singer. Depending on your stance on him, I think he done 3 out of 4 good X-Men movies. I'm sorry, like that.
And a Superman movie.
Huh?
Was that something else? Was it? He did the Superman Returns, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, less about that, but you know, let's concentrate on the comic book stuff. but my point being is, though, this isn't Marvel. This is a brand new IP. They're trying to make Zelda something that people will come to see, and Avi Arad is the guy that's going to do that. Fair enough. I don't agree with what he's done with his stance on Spider-Man, with stuff like Venom and, you know, Morbius and stuff like that. But, you know, it's a money, you know, for him, it's a money play, because he has money invested in these Spider-Man characters over at Sony. So fine, man wants to get paid. He doesn't want to lose a meal. And, you know, it's business at the end of the day. And
what about the fact that he brought us Uncharted? So the fact that he was, executive producer on Uncharted, obviously another video game adaptation.
Oh, well, fuck him then. fuck everything I said. I didn't know he was involved in Uncharted. Yeah, you need to go, Abby. Abby, what the fuck, man? I was trying to give him an olive branch. I was trying to go, hey, I may not like certain decisions he made later on in his Marvel career, but you had to bring up unfucking Charted. Oh my gosh.
Well, that's it, because his latest string of movies is, you know,
not
Uncharted,
great.
Morbius, you know, Venom.
Okay,
Venom
they
2,
cannot. They cannot.
Sinister
do
6, Kraven the Hunter.
They cannot do to Zelda what they did with Uncharted. I'm sorry. It's just straight up. No.
Recast Tom Holland in the lead.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
But then he's involved in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and Across the Spider-Verse. So he's like, but you just don't know how much he's involved. Yeah. I mean, he's just a producer at the end of the day. You don't know how much. But for example, so many Marvel fans are pissed at him because he was the one who enforced Venom into Spider-Man 3 back in the day. And he pushed it in because he knew it was going to sell toys. Like you say, it was about selling merchandise and toys.
Exactly.
And he pushed it through, and then the film became bloated and stuff like that. So, you know, he puts pressures in certain places, but, you know, even though his name's attached to a lot of stuff, like you see Steven Spielberg's executive producing a load of stuff, like on Transformers, doesn't mean he's involved. He's just involved with the IP early on. He gets credited for it, so you money. Can't blame him for it. So some things you can't blame him for.
I'll say this. If Tom Holland ends up being Link, I actually don't have a problem with that. But he ain't no Nathan Drake.
He's not Nathan Drake. No, he's not. He's not Nathan Drake. Okay, so that's Avi Arad. Okay, so in terms of the film, in terms of its tone and what you're hoping for, just before we move on to some casting ideas, the way that I kind of see this franchise, it has to appeal to everyone. It is a genre for all ages. For me, it needs to be that fantasy romp adventure, very much like Pirates of the Caribbean. That's where I see it in terms of its tone. So it's, you know, it's got to be adventurous, not too serious. I don't know much about the lore of the game, so I don't know how much there is in terms of the lore that it needs to do. But I think, you know, it needs to have some comedy elements. It needs to have the action, some set pieces, a great score. And, you know, just bringing the whole family in, because that's what Nintendo is. It's a family brand. So I can't see it being mature, and I can't see it being too for the little kids, if you know
what
I mean.
It won't need to be Zelda. It won't need to be with Zelda. I mean, Zelda's never been that kind of game. As you hit the, you know, without knowing the game, you've hit a lot of what Satch was saying before about it's not a hack and slash. It's, you know, we talked about Castlevania as a recent, it's not. Tone of Castlevania is much darker than Link ever has been.
Yeah.
And you know, it has more in common a bit with Mario than it does Castlevania in terms of it's a general sort of princess gets kidnapped, we go and rescue the princess kind of vibe. I mean, that's been a lot of the games, and it's in terms of that tone, when I said Game of Thrones style, I meant more as a mini series rather than as the tone being like Game of Thrones.
Look of it in terms of the fantasy.
The fantasy style and the fact that you can spend a lot of money on a few episodes to make it look good. Because obviously the one thing about Game of Thrones was that it looked great. You know, it looked really believable when they did it, and they waited around to make sure they got the right weather for it and the right scenery for it. But so that's why when I said that, but you know, live action film is fine. There's plenty of locations around the world where they can do stuff with the Zelda. I mean, are you asking about storyline or just in terms of tone?
Look, I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, obviously, like you said, the main crux of the game, you kind of mentioned it, you know, Link rescues Zelda. Now, a lot of people, we probably should have mentioned this earlier, Zelda is not the character with the green hat. Okay, Zelda is the female princess. The guy in the hat and the sword,
that's not Zelda.
Link. Yeah, that is Link. Let's see. Yeah. So just to make that clear. So when you're saying Tom Holland could be Zelda, no. that's not right. Link, Tom Holland could be Link. So just to kind of establish that, because, you know, for me, that's very confusing because you see Legends of Zelda and you see this character. But anyway, so what are your guys' thoughts on how they should kind of play it out? Is there a particular game you think that they should follow, saying that is my favorite interpretation of the story and I think they should lead here? Or is there like multiple versions? Do you see like the movie being done in different ways from different perspectives? You know, like the first movie is done by one perspective and the second movie is done by another perspective because it's the same kind of story? Or do you just see it as a continuation that they will use the IP but then just start writing their own stuff as sequels?
There's too much.
What do you think they'll do? Yeah, but also, you've got creative control. What would you do?
I don't think they can really, they could rewrite and do their own thing, but it'd be silly to do that from my point of view, because they have so many different options. Every game, although there is a common theme running through lots of the games, every game is different. You know, talk about, in terms of my personal choice in terms of creative control would be to do, if we're going to do a live action film and we're going to do, my idea is that they're going to try and do a three films. You know, they're going to try and but they're going to try. I think they're going to try and put it as a first film is going to. And I said this to Sasha in conversation. Each film will have to stand. Well, especially the first film will have to stand on its own, because obviously, if it's not a hit, then it needs to just leave it one and done. But I'm age plays a part for me. Link to a Past is my go-to story, but just simply because the way the game is formatted suits a longer series of films. You know, the first, if those who don't know Link to a Past, you know, you're introduced to Link. He's got he lives with his uncle, not his parents. He wakes up in the middle of the night. Uncle's going out with a sword and a shield. He's off to go and do something. He doesn't tell Link much about it. You then follow and you find your uncle's basically knocked out, possibly dead, well, you know, he comes back at the end, he's been knocked out and not able to carry on. He gives a sword and shield to Link, who then goes to find the princess. And then that's how the story starts. But there is, there are two, the one thing that was a big seller for Link to a Past was the fact that it was two games in one, essentially. You had the first part of the game, which was to collect three pendants, to have access to the Master Sword to beat a wizard, Aghanim, who was trying to send, to basically, as Satch was saying about the Triforce of Power, help Ganon acquire the power of the Triforce. And the whole first part of the whole first part of the game is all based in this world, big world, trying to find these three pendants. And you find the three pendants, you get the Master Sword, Zelda is finally found and taken by the wizard, you defeat the wizard, and basically you feel like, well, I've done the game now. I've finished the game. Yeah, that's it. I've won. And then it goes, you're sucked into the dark world. Then you flip into a complete mirror universe of what Hyrule will be like with Ganondorf's power on that side. And then you have to hunt down the seven pieces of the crystals to defeat Ganon. So in terms of a linear story, it has a lot where you can say first film could be the first part. And you get the Master Sword, you beat, and then the end of the first film can be being pulled into the dark world. And that can be either the end of the film or it can be post credits. You know, and perfectly set up for either of those kinds of things. And then you go in, and then the next two films, you know, second film can be about collecting the crystals. And then getting towards the end, sort of like do like an Infinity War endgame kind of thing, where you stop about halfway through, and then you get to the end in the final film where he faces off against Ganon.
Yeah, well, very much Lord of the Rings style. Yeah, because what you don't want is him rescuing the princess in the first movie. It's like then
no, and the thing is, the best thing about the story is the princess is around. Like, if you walk back to where you leave her, she's there. She's not in any trouble in the game. She's sitting with a guy chatting. Basically, waiting until you've chilling, basically, until you defeat the wizard. And then it's only, and obviously part of the game, you get the sword, which is a classic piece of Zelda, and it has to be in the film, a classic piece of Zelda.
Yeah, that
has to be getting the Master Sword.
Because it's the whole Arthurian kind of vibe thing, man. Yeah,
or Sword and the Stone thing. And there's a great scene in the game when you get it and everything. But as soon as you do that, she gets kidnapped, and then and you get there just after she's sent through, and the doorway's opened, and then you beat Aghanim, and then you go through. So it's got potential, that does, to be a, there are other, I'd say something like Ocarina of Time, and probably more recently Breath of the Wild, I guess, and Tears of the Kingdom, probably have better stories or more interesting takes on things. But in terms of telling a story, it's got a great linear storyline that suits a longer narrative, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I like that. Like I say, you know, for someone who doesn't know anything about the story other than obviously Link and the Princess, that makes a lot of sense to me. That you know, like you say, that's your arc. Like you say, the first one is kind of bright. You know, he's going on a quest. Yes, he's trying to find these things, get the sword. The second one, you come a little bit darker in tone because it's like this underworld kind of thing.
The Empire style.
Empire style. And then you get to the third film where he's having to reach back up to that light peak again to make the final chapter work out. Yeah, I like that. Sasha, what version of the game do you feel
his ideas?
Yeah. Sasha,
like Chris knocked it on the head there, but like I said, there are many different ways they can adapt it. Chris isn't wrong. In fact, he summarized Link to the Past really well as a free film kind of art thing there. I mean, like for me, I'm just kind of like, which one do I go for? Because like I said, there are many. I mean, that's one way of doing it, or you could adapt. But I think the most popular game is like Link to the Past for me and Chris has a particular thing. It's a generation thing. Because we grew up with Super Nintendo in high school. So that was our thing. And sure, we both played Ocarina when it first came out. And that too is great for different reasons, you know, because it's, was the first 3D Zelda, you know, and also the story was kick-ass, and you know,
like, story was good.
Like this one, the story's more or less the same, except you know, little bit differences because they introduced more of different kingdoms in that one. You had the Zoras, you had the Gongons up in the mountains, and stuff. Yeah, you had them. So it brought more stuff to the world, kind of thing, than
the 2D games ever did. You know what I mean? You had, and then, of course,
Twilight Princess.
So obviously, you got, you know, you, what's it? Unlike the uncle thing, he's like an orphan that lives with the elves, kind of thing. And like, you know, he's kind of bullied by some people because he's a little bit taller than them. He has to, you know, he gets a quest from a great wise tree. Guidance from an owl. You know.
Yeah, so like when Sasha started sending me characters of who to cast, I'm like, yo, this game seems trippy.
There's talking owls, there's talking trees, there's all kinds of things. So I was like, wow, okay. So that, and you know, I get why it's the the favorite amongst a lot of people, you know, especially now, because even with every 3D game that's come since, everyone's like Ocarina of Time. Yeah, I mean, and more importantly, you got an ocarina, you got a musical instrument, you got a bit of musical vibes going on, you know, because you got to bang out them tunes to get to different dungeons.
A flute in the first game, in the original NES game, there was a flute. It was hilarious.
So a link to the past, for those of you who don't know, this was released for the Super Nintendo back in 1991.
So
there's that difference, and then you've got other things like so he's got to he gets summoned to the princess. The princess is in his head, you know, just like that. He goes to the castle. Ganon kidnaps the princess. He opens the master sword, and in doing so, he actually goes through time. You know, where the Master Sword is a porthole through time, and he goes through time, and it is like the future, like 10 years later or something, and he's an adult now. Like, for him, time hasn't, he's still a kid in mind, like Lino and shit, but you know what I mean? He's like, time
but his
hasn't
body actually kind of ages.
Yeah, like he's in a older body kind of thing. But
so could you have two actors playing Link then? Could you have a younger version and an older version?
Definitely, especially in that one, you know. So like and same with Zelda. There's a kid version of Zelda, and then obviously she's an adult later on. And the biggest key difference with Ocarina of Time is, and this kind of stays true with other iterations later, is that when he goes forward through time, there's this other character called Sheik, and Sheik is someone that will come in and give you
ninja.
Someone put in the comments how you pronounce that properly, but I always read it as Sheik or Sheik or whatever. Anyway, like they'd come up, they'd give you guidance or help or whatever. You'll be beating someone up and they'll come and whatever, and like, or give you an item and stuff. And that Sheik person, that's Zelda. That is Zelda, and she obviously escaped Ganon, blah, blah. She gets kidnapped again. Okay. Yeah. But, she's a bit more, you know, a bit more kick-ass kind of thing. So there's that kind of element to it as well. And then, you know, obviously you get all the Triforce pieces, you fight Ganon at the end, like every other goddamn game. So there are different
saying that, Ocarina of Time's battle against Ganon is probably the best one. It's better than Link to the Past. Because the 3D-ness... I have to say this, Ash, because like Ken doesn't know, you literally kill him and it ends. And it's like Mario 64, where you kill him and then he comes back to life. And then you literally, but the thing about Ocarina of Time is you leave the castle thinking you've won. So you actually don't just stay in the same zone, it reloads. You walk out and then it happens. Okay. And then you're like, oh, and then it gets really hard.
Nice. That's cool. I mean, Miyamoto said in an interview back in April that he knows that the characters and stories are going to have to be adapted. You know, nothing can be a straight like for like, because
the
games just weren't made that way.
No. I mean, the other way of doing it is a pig. So in the first game, he's a pig. So it doesn't really work. You can't do that live action.
Well, yeah, you can. CGI.
Well, that's his final form. Like,
you get the main actor, and then when you think he's dead, he just turns into the demon pig thing. So there you go. Wow. But anyway,
that was the thing for a while. Chippy, as you said.
All right. Yeah. So before we go on to casting, have you guys got any more thoughts on anything else we've just spoken about?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, hang on. Before we go off the film, that's Ocarina of Time way, but then Dreamway. I always said series, but I'm like series of film, like series of films, mm-hmm. like Chronicles of Narnia, Lord yeah. of Rings, mm. if you include the Hobbit films. Hey, look, there's like seven pieces to the Triforce, seven films. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Do it over seven films.
Or yeah, you could do like, you could do adapt. Three films and do, yeah, Arcania Time, Twilight Princess, and what was the third one? Majora's Mask came in between, didn't it?
Yeah. But you could do loads of stuff. You could do loads of stuff. You don't have to follow. Yeah. You know what? I wouldn't even name them after the games, though.
No.
Because if you name them after the games, everyone's going to assume it's the game. I would still keep Zelda and Legend of Zelda in the title and give it, you know,
a subheading,
whatever it is, and maybe hint towards something that like fans are looking forward to, yeah. like a villain or an enemy or something.
Character
or whatnot. Just don't put Tingle in the title and we'll be good. But
King's Zelda,
the Age of Tingle.
The Satcher's got a point. Like, you can borrow from more than one film and the Zelda fans will not be upset. As long as you tell a coherent story, you can do whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
The Game Boy game is one of the lead-on ones. It leads on from the Nintendo games and then he ends up being shipwrecked on an island collecting, was it shells he collects?
Was it shells?
Link's Awakening.
Link's Awakening. That's shells. When he's shipwrecked on the thing and he's got open the thing and he's got a
speech. That's like a completely separate story. You could do.
Yeah, that's a completely side quest, man. Yeah. Good
but like,
game.
Say the song, that's a complete good game, but like,
I swear
there's
it was
so
musical
much
instruments. Stuff. You had to play musical instruments outside the egg at the end. Yeah, it is musical instruments.
What the hell is this?
Yeah. Because okay. for some reason I got a violin as one and a saxophone.
You,
and something
you wake him up. You have to wake up something. You have to wake up the egg. And then you wake up.
So you play a symphony in front of the egg. And Ken's like, what the hell? But no, seriously.
And then it's like Dallas and it's a dream.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good game, man.
Okay. So let's talk about some casting ideas. So I'm going to throw you some casting ideas because, again, I just looked at the characters, tried to get a feel for what they were, and then came up with some names. So I tried to keep it younger because the characters, from what I understand, the games are younger. When I looked, tried to look at how old Link was, it was anything from like 16 to 20. And the others, oh, he's 125
like
years, obviously the way he looks. Yeah, exactly. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to try and keep it quite young. I'm not going for huge A-listers because that's not what I want. I want to build a franchise around some of these people. Okay. So that's kind of where I'm going. But I also know that we can't go for nobodies because at the end of the day, it's a big IP. Sony is Nintendo. You need to have some kind of recognition. So for Zelda, I've got three picks. I've got Hunter Schafer. She's 24. She's Jules in Euphoria. And she's going to be Tigris or Tigris in the Hunger Games, the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. A lot of Ket fans have said they'd like to see this casting. I kind of saw it and it made sense to me. She said she'd be up for it, so we'll see. Somebody else who I had was Sadie Sink. She's 21. She's Max in Stranger Things, the redhead. So I had her down. And then also Joey King. She's 24. And she probably known mostly from Bullet Train. She was the young girl in Bullet Train, sort of like the secret bad boss kind of thing. And she was also fantastic in a miniseries called The Act. She was fantastic in there. So that's kind of who I got for Zelda. For Link, I had three. So one, if I was going quite young, it would be Jacob Tremblay. He's only 17, but you'll know him from The Good Boys and Dr. Sleep. Back in the day, he was in Room with Brie Larson, but mainly from The Good Boys. He's 17 now, fantastic actor. Asher Angel. He's in Shazam and Shazam 2. He plays the younger version of Captain Marvel. So he plays the adopted boy. I think he's a really good talent. Again, in 21 years old, he's been in a couple of bits, but obviously he wasn't the main guy in it because he wasn't the superhero part. And then something which is a bit more on the nose because people know him a bit more well is Finn Wolfhard. 20 years old, Stranger Things, Ghostbusters, a couple of big franchises under the belt. He's going to be capable of potentially leading something like this. And then I had a look at some of the other characters that Sasha sent me because I had no idea who they was. Is it Ganondorf, the big bad?
The main bad guy.
Big bad.
Yeah, the big bad. So I had Winston Duke from Black Panther and Us. I thought he'd be fantastic, big presence. Or I had Jake Gyllenhaal, something a bit different. I like seeing Jake Gyllenhaal as a bad guy. So I was like,
yeah, I had Jake.
I'd have him.
I had Jake as a possible.
And then it's the great Deku tree or Deku tree. Yeah. I had either J.K. Simmons or Hugo Weaving to voice that.
Yeah.
Wise Owl, I had Gary Oldman. And for the old man, I had Andy Serkis because I didn't know how much motion cap CG or natural thing needs to be involved, but I thought he could pull those off. So those are my ideas, basically, not playing the game, not knowing these characters at all.
You're just going in. You're a studio executive. Let's go. Okay.
Exactly. That was my creative control. I'm just like looking. What are these characters? Yeah. Right. I want these people. I want these actors because they sound cool and they'll look good on my marquee. So you guys tell me who's going to represent your characters. So Sasha, who have you got for Link?
All right. If I was to go with an A-lister, I wouldn't lose sleep if Tom Holland was Link. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not my first choice though. He's like, if they announced it and said Tom, I'll be like, yeah, all right, cool. Yeah, all right, that. I'll check it out, kind of thing. Because one, it's a safe bet. Two, the guy can act. Three, it's not Uncharted. So, you know what I mean? He's probably better suited here, like age-wise and shit, rather than, but like, that's not my first choice. I would rather cast an unknown, someone that up and coming, whatever. But I did have one name with one guy that I would say is up and coming. Walker Scorbell. He was in the Adam Project opposite against Ryan Reynolds. He's quite good young. Shout.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has the look. And also, more importantly, he held his own opposite an A-lister in the Adam Project, showing that he can act. So I would go for people like him. He's got the perfect look for Link. I think I think out of all of your picks, I wasn't down with any of your picks for Link.
Walker Scobell's going to be in the Percy Jackson series in Disney, so it'll be interesting to see them. But he's still quite young. According to a quick search, he's still only 14, so he is quite
young. Perfect. To be honest, I would cast young for Link, to be quite honest, Link and Zelda. I'd say 14, but anything between 14 and 20 is probably the age range I would be looking for, to be quite honest. Because I think, you know, that Link's no older than 20. So I wouldn't go super old or whatnot. That's the perfect age. And like, the other, what's it? And on the subject of Link, before we move on to Zelda, it's kind of like, and this is more about the film, I don't know how they approach this, because Link doesn't talk in the games. Now, I know aesthetically for the games that, and this is the debate that people are going to have, all right? He's never spoken in the games. And the reason aesthetically for the games is they want you to read and breathe the world. Okay, there is an argument online, and I've argued with people on the interwebs about this, because some people that are
don't get into it.
Games and stuff, they're basically, like,
don't get it.
They're very much like, we want CGI cutscenes, we want voice acting, Zelda should evolve. It's like, you know what? Like, read a book. Okay, look, video games is a different medium, and there's two ways. You can go out your way to make it cinematic, or you could. The thing is, with Zelda, you're trying to be more involved in a world. When you read and play a game, you're taking more information in, because you're stimulating your brain, and you know what I mean? That kind of thing. So reading, that's the whole point with Zelda. You take more information in. When you watch something, you could miss some things, or you might not pay attention because you're too distracted off or something else. With these games, you're plugged in, kind of thing. So so because this is a different medium, and the medium of film, should he talk? Because he's never talked. You know what I mean? Because he represented the user, the player. You know what I mean? He was never...
When you used to be Link.
You were Link. You
were Link,
So that's just it. The only time he's ever spoken is the 80s cartoon, okay, where he's like, excuse me, princess, in which case when you hear that, you just think of Chris Pratt as Link. And
I was going to say, yeah.
I just want to say, yeah. He does sound effects. So, yeah. He does sound effects.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He definitely dies. He definitely screams.
Like, he does sound effects. But he
Chris, who do you have for Link?
Well, did Satcher say what he had? Or did you go through Zelda? He was going to do Zelda. Or did you do Link first? Okay.
We'll do Link first. I was just saying to the audience, Link, like, it's a debate. Like, should he talk? Should there be a thing where he's a mute? Where he can't talk?
I'm with you.
Sound off in the comments. Let us know what you think.
By the way,
should he say anything at all?
Yeah, I'm open to stuff because for me, I think it's good. That's the one thing I'm going to have to get used to. Because it's going to happen, all right? I don't see a major studio going like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then here's the other thing. Like, we're adding personality to a guy that's never had personality, you know? Mm-hmm. So
he's quite wooden. Yeah. No, he has
But like, he falls down a lot. He falls down a lot in pits. No, he dies a lot.
He doesn't have character in that way. It's such an interesting take. Such as hit it on the head with the fact that you are Link. Mm. And for me personally, I would make it different. I would make it silent for him because it would be so different. And if you could, and the other thing you've got to think of is you got Miyamoto with 50% plus. Mm. This may well be you don't cross this bridge thing. He doesn't talk. Yeah.
Just a quick question. So even though he doesn't speak in the game, is there any text? So, like, it texts back and forth in conversation.
He has, like, in different games. Like, if you see above me here on my background, this is Navi above him. This is the main way of getting dialogue in the game of Ocarina. So he talks through other things. So people talk to him as if he's talking, and you have conversations. But he just—it's all about body language.
Well, he doesn't say the conversation back. You never say the conversation back. No. People talk.
You just hear what they say.
Just give you information. That's not going to work on the big screen.
If you could get a whole era of silent films. It would be original.
People have got the patience for that these days. As a studio and a blockbuster, there's no way that I'd have my character is silent.
Conan the Barbarian. Man only has a few words of dialogue, okay? It is mainly a visually striking film. They casted a bodybuilder, not an actor, okay? Mm-hmm. Because Conan wasn't supposed to speak, okay?
Mm-hmm. So he forced him to speak.
And yeah, it was one of the biggest blockbusters of its time that spawned two sequels, one side quest film, and had the governor. So I don't know. I think it can be done, especially in fantasy. It just takes
It's the one character who where I would say, as much as I agree with Ken, what you're saying, Ken, it is the one character where if it would be such a big deal. It would be such a big deal. Okay. And we've got things about markets. They could make it work either way. They can make it work either way. I think, again, forgiving nature of the fans. But you've also got to think that that Zelda is massive in the Far East where Nintendo is king. That is massive. He's a big deal. Like Mario is a big deal. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be a lot of people who maybe would be offended, and the word Japanese offended, if they saw him speaking because of the fact that he never speaks. It's we're talking about 30-odd years, multiple games. You know, he's never spoken. So it's interesting. But for my Link characters, if I'm going to take an actor, I was with Satya. I just don't see there's anyone. It would be, especially if it's going to be silent, have an unknown. Mm. Because you're not going to miss anything. But it can be a main actor, can be a main star presence. But because, again, having an unknown would mean, okay, so is he the main character or is he not? And so therefore, if you didn't have a star name in that role, you may be able to get away with less speaking and less of that if they were able to act visually and physically act. You know, it's such an interesting because if you think about it, it's just weird because it works. It does work because it's almost like I'm trying to think of how to put it. It's almost like he is a massive part of the game. Obviously, you play him. But it's everybody, he's in that world as he is, and everybody accepts him as he is in that respect. So it's not everyone realizes that he can't speak, or anyone even acknowledges it. The whole world expects him not to speak, if that makes sense. And they, and yeah, it's you don't miss it in a game sense. You don't miss it. You don't miss not talking. Yeah. You don't miss, and even now in Skyward Sword, think about it. Skyward Sword, not Skyward Sword. Tears of the Kingdom is the most modern game. Speaking, cuts, no cut. You know, not, you know, and it's like, if it was going to change, it would have been already. You know, there was plenty of opportunity for it. It's just, I think, in a film sense,
that's why, and that's also get why you have it. Navi as like a sidekick.
Yeah, you have that's Navi, you who have does Navi all the talking for him.
He does all the
who would you compare that to, Sash? Yeah. Who would you compare it to in recent? Who would you compare that kind of character to?
In I just terms said of, who I'd compare it to, Conan, a modern day.
No, Navi is a character. Navi, oh, Navi, the fairy. Who would you compare it to? Like in a film where they've had like a little yappity sort of character in the background.
C-3PO.
And R2-D2-C-3PO.
If they were the main stars of the show.
No, he's right. Yeah, they come together. Yeah. R2-D2 beeps. You don't necessarily understand what he's doing. C-3PO gives the context. So you don't necessarily need to have somebody
speak. You have other characters giving the explanation of what they're saying, though.
Star Wars starts with those two as the main leads for the first 20 minutes of the damn movie, you know? And it works. Mm. Visual storytelling. But again, you've got...
I get what you're saying.
The thing is, though, you've got a whole movie rather than 20 minutes, okay? Mm. Conan, even though he barely speaks in that film, he only has like a couple of lines. You know what I mean?
I think it's eight lines or 10, something like
that. Yeah, something like that. Lines. And that's fine, man. That's fine. I think if Link didn't speak, that'd one show that the filmmaker has fucking giant balls.
Yeah.
All right? Like giant balls.
Giant balls of steel. And
you know what? It could be a better film. Better film for it. Forget modern audiences and all that shit. All right, we're talking about the Zelda movie. This is creative fucking control, a director's creative control. Okay, do they have the balls to make Link not speak? That's what I say. All right, because if he doesn't speak, I would rate it. I would actually rate it. But here's the thing. Okay, so much stuff happens in Zelda, you're probably not even going to notice motherfucker not speaking.
No,
you could make there are so many supporting characters that you could make a joke, ongoing joke out of it. Yeah, you know what I mean,
I've got supporting characters on my list as well. That
is Tingle one of them?
As in, I've got people who I would cast as,
yeah,
I'd have yeah, to, yeah. I want to put
there
in.
There are so many other people that you could have an A-lister rock in and show up rather than our leads, you know. Rather than on leads, and that's the beauty.
It's an ensemble piece, actually. It's more an ensemble piece because Zelda moves around and meets people.
I do think though Ganondorf has to be an A-list name. He has to, if you're going to go with an unknown name. Ganondorf has to be the A-lister of A-listers.
We can do that next. We should do Ganondorf next, and then come to Zelda.
Okay, so give me your picks for Ganondorf then.
Satch, you go first if you want.
I want to stick on Zelda.
Let's go Zelda. So who have you got for Zelda?
For me, who have I got?
Because if I was going older, I'd go for Anya Taylor-Joy. But
I've got 100%.
I've got her 100%.
If it was older, it would have been her and what's her face from Game of Thrones?
Oh, Williams,
Khaleesi. If it was older, those would be the top two.
I just feel like she's slightly out of it. I think she's just.
What about Zendaya?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't have Zendaya.
I wouldn't get Zendaya. But speaking of Spider-Man and Gory Rice, who was in The Nice Guys, and Betty Brant from the Spider-Man movies, she's upcoming.
Mm-hmm.
She's got the look, and she's got the right age. So. I'd probably, and she'd be a perfect fit with Walker. No, she's a bit older than him, but
I don't know. I still think these two need to be unknowns, to be honest.
It's easy.
They need to have chemistry. They have to be unknowns, I feel.
If you're going to make a series of films as well, where
yeah.
then you want to have
cheap for series of films.
And cheap for three films. Yeah. For three films to start off with, three-film deal, maybe a spin-off.
Hey, I went with my seven film. Done. It's a Harry Potter film.
Nintendo are giving me money to make a movie. Why am I going to cast two unknowns and risk that box office?
Hey. They cast Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford. All right.
We're in a different age, dude. We're not talking about the 70s anymore.
No, dude. The way you cast it is you give the supporting roles to the A-listers, like Superman. You know, they still do that now. That model is done still today now, just not in Marvel movies. No, in fact, Marvel took the biggest gamble of all time in recent years.
Robert Downey Jr.
They picked a down and out actor that had no A-list credentials anymore.
Chris Hemsworth. Okay? Home and Away.
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth. There we go. Chris Hemsworth, another one. Okay. And what did they do with those guys? They gave them A-listers to prop them up. You know what I mean? They hired the best man for the job and they gave the studio everybody else. Who's going to mess with Jeff Bridges back then? Who's going to mess with Gwyneth Paltrow? You got Terrence Howard straight off his Oscar. You know what I mean? Yeah. For Hustle and Flow. You know what I mean? And you're telling me you can't get this dead drunk into your movie as your lead? They did. That's how you cast this movie. That's how you cast a great movie. Okay. Don't go for no Hunger Games A-list of the month flavor shit like that. No. If you're going to do Zelda, Nintendo's got 50% of the fucking say here. They get a pick, really. And, you know, like, I hope it's an unknown.
Miyamoto, man, that
game. I convinced myself in it. Deep down, that's what I wanted. But hey, I will say this, if they said Tobey Maguire tomorrow, not Tobey Maguire, Tom Holland, the other Spider-Man. If they said him, I'd be like, all right, cool. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't cry about it, but it showed they have balls.
Yeah, but there's a difference. There's a difference between, I know you're saying Robert Downey Jr., but okay, so yes, he wasn't, at the top of his game at that point, A-list.
He was established.
He's still well known. People knew the name in the media. He wasn't an unknown. It's very different to say an unknown compared to, he'd done Zodiac, A Scanner Darkly, Goodnight, Good Luck, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Gothica, Ali McBeal he was in. He'd done all that stuff before.
So Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, okay, let's stick with that era, okay? Let's not go into Chaplin where he won the Oscar and all of that stuff, okay? Let's look at paint the picture of Marvel here. He's not leading any films. He didn't lead Scanner Darkly. That was Keanu Reeves. Also, independent.
It doesn't matter about the lead. You're talking about unknowns.
Yeah,
it's very, very different. He wasn't unknown. He was an Oscar winner in a movie.
I understand Ken's point. He wasn't an unknown. He was an established movie star, been around the business. He was just on a downward streak.
Yeah, because of his private life. I agree with that.
Because of his private life. And he got pulled out of that by Iron Man. You know.
Chris Hemsworth is probably a bit more of an accurate pick in terms of somebody who was more up and coming for a big role. So, I could probably get on board with that more. But, the Robert Downey Jr. one doesn't stick.
I know.
Can we just anyway, we're getting off point. So, Zelda. Chris, tell me about your Zelda.
Well, I had Anna Taylor-Joy. I had Grace Van Dien.
Grace Van Dien, was she in?
I can't remember if Grace Van Dien, just let me get bring her back up again. I had a Grace. One second. She's... Grace Van Dien. She's done Stranger Things. She's done V for Vengeance, Lady Driver. She's been, so she's been in a few things. But the thing, if you look behind me, right, if I move my head this way, right, so Satch was talking about having young Link, old Link.
Mm-hmm.
Link has a distinctive look. And same with on my other side, Zelda. There is a look involved with these characters, and unfortunately, I don't think you should compromise to be, trying to meet other criteria here. They need to be the characters. They need to be the way the characters are portrayed, these portrayals of the characters behind me, these ones, Ganon has changed from time to time, but these two, they've not changed in every game. The games
are the same, pretty much. Yeah.
Always, you know, they're always the same look. So Grace Van Dien, for me, if you look at, you know, gone on a Google search, she's got the look. Yeah, same with Sydney Sweeney. Same with Sydney Sweeney. I think she, if you don't know, I think people know she's done things like Euphoria, White Lotus. Oh, she's actually cast in Madam Web as well, apparently. So she's already on the books, so to speak, at Sweeney.
At Sony.
So that would be my picks. And I wouldn't necessarily need, I wouldn't need an unknown. I think my drive for an unknown with Link is based around me wanting him to be Link. Silent Link, and you get exposition from Zelda, you get exposition from Navi. He can be an unknown, he just has to look. But Zelda, she does hold a bit more, and there is a bit more to her. And especially in Ocarina of Time, as Satcha said, with where's Shake? Where's she gone? There she is. So if you look below the sword, this is Shake here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like there is a bit more to her that maybe a more established actress could pull and have. You know, and support an unknown in it, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's me for Zelda.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Right. Let's move you guys on to Ganondorf. Who have you got?
I'll go first this time. I've got Ganondorf was probably for me one of the easier ones to sort of have a look at ideas for and have some good ideas because. Essentially, if you're going to go down, Ganondorf needs to be maniacal, classic villain, you know, not comic. He's not comic. He's not a quippy Mr. Freeze from Batman and, you know, Batman and Robin. He's got to have some gravitas. You've got to believe it. You know, I'm thinking like Kevin Spacey as Lex in the other Superman film we talked about. He has to be believably evil. So you're going to have someone who's got the skills. So I'm thinking, I had a list of names, you know, Michael Shannon for me would do a great job. Someone like, someone like Luke Evans, Oscar Isaac, I had loads. And this is where I was like, Henry Cavill doing an evil role. Might be able to put it off. And then, like way out there as someone who could actually act like proper act it that probably would never be included, Leo.
Leo DiCaprio. Wow.
Like he could pull that role off. And because as Satcha said, if you're going to go with what we're saying, like having an unknown Link, young Zelda actress, Ganondorf has to be a magnetic personality on screen. He has to be the kind of person who's going to eat up the screen, pull you in, and make you believe in what he's doing. And you know, Leo is the best actor arguably the best actor in the world. Let's just put it out there. He's arguably the best actor. And he's approaching the age now where character acting, you know, he put it off. But, you know, if you're not
in that kind of frame, I'd probably pick someone like Christian Bale.
But Bale was on my list. I think I'd Rami Malek as well, and Alexander Skarsgård as well. He needs to be someone who can pull off that, and he needs to be of a certain. Unfortunately, you know, Leo's six. He's 6 foot. He has to be quite tall, six plus. Because
would he be CG or would he be in makeup? What do you see it happening?
You could do makeup if he's like this, and you know, if he's like Ocarina Ganon and like that, you could easily do like make him look like that and do makeup with him. And you know, you think about the stuff they can do with makeup these days. It doesn't need to be CG. You could do mocap. If you get to the, you know, in the final fight and you want to change form, do a mocap. But the fact is, you know, that could be something to move into. But, you know, and you've got example of that with the Hulk, you know, going from Banner to Hulk, you know, that's the kind of thing you could do later on. But you need to have someone who's going to hold your gaze and you know is evil and can act because they need to be able to, you need to make it believable. And like, that's why I went first of all with Shannon because his Zod is believable. Zod. It's the best Zod we've had. No offense to OG, but like, he is the best Zod. He's the best Zod.
You know what? I haven't put much thought into it.
But I agree with Chris 100%. It's all about getting the best performer and stuff. DiCaprio was interesting. It was a bit left field for me because I wasn't looking at him. I was looking at more people with gravitas, and I didn't do that much of a search. You did it a bit more thoroughly, okay? With me, I was thinking more A-lister. And the other thing is, because of the way that Ganondorf looks like, I this is one of a few times where I haven't excluded someone from another race and stuff and whatnot. Of course. Because I just think you need the best evil kind of performer. So my first pick was actually Idris Elba, to be honest.
Good choice.
Mainly because he can play menacing, he can play a bit air of gravitas kind of thing. It's a fantasy. So, you know what I mean? Like,
That's why I went with Winston Duke, because similar kind of mold. But like you said, if you're going with unknowns, then you need that big name.
Yes,
100%. You need someone who's got this gravitas.
On the other counterbalance to that, Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe
will chew that scenery up. He will be menacing.
He's making
the Craven movie look crap, because he looks more Craven than Craven. Okay, so it's like Russell Crowe is the guy.
Is it about physicality with the character at all, or not really?
There is an element of it. It can't be too old.
Yeah, there can't be too old. So the other thing, the other person, I would say, you know what? I'm going to bring in two muscle men. Okay, two muscle men that wouldn't normally be on here, and people can laugh at me, etc. I would turn around to Vin Diesel and be like, bitch, please, with your fast money, go back to your boiler room days. I want to put you in heavy makeup.
Go back to Riddick days.
Yeah, go back. Yeah. No, not Riddick days. Boiler room days, where he's acting. You know what I mean? Like, I need you to act. I don't need you to bring your Fast and Furious rubbish, okay? I need you to play the big bad, okay? And hell, if he said no, I'd be like, Dwayne, come on, man. This is your time. This is your time to do something different. Yeah, I know. I knew you'd squint. But here's the thing: he needs to do something different with his whole thing.
He doesn't. He's got family. He doesn't need to do shit.
He's got Disney money.
But I knew those would be like maybe not kind of things. Yeah. And as you can tell, like the first two,
if it was a series, I'd have someone like Charles Dance.
Charles Dance would be good. Charles Dance could do
Lannister in Game of Thrones. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You could do it
for a movie.
Bit too old.
The name.
Bit too
old. Yeah, yeah. He's in his 70s. Yeah.
I tell you.
You know who I was. One more satchel. My last one. Another after you. One last one. You go ahead.
Okay. My one last one was, hang on, who did I say? Idris.
You're on Rock.
Oh, right. Yeah. My last one was Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, I can see that.
Hugh Jackman. If you see him in Chappie, where he's the antagonist,
yeah,
and plus see him in Prisoners, you know what I mean? Like,
he's got the skills.
What about Cillian Murphy?
He's got the build. No,
he's just a bit too small.
I like Cillian Murphy. Mm-hmm. I like Cillian Murphy a lot. I just don't see him as Ganon. You know what I mean?
Last name, Mark Strong.
Yeah, Mark Strong.
Mark Strong could do it.
Mark Strong could do it. My problem with Mark Strong is he's always associated with flops when it comes to the fantasy genre. And
fantasy,
he's always good in those. He's always good in those. I don't want Zelda to flop, okay? So he's a bad omen.
And Shazam.
Fair enough.
He's in Shazam. And he's not a flop. I can't call Shazam 1 a flop. That's not a flop, Shazam 1.
No, it's not a franchise anymore. So.
No, exactly. Hey, you can't put that on Shazam. They did the best they could.
What would do, Chris? Just shout me off some of the other characters you've cast and any other names.
What I'll do is, if I can do it a different way, because I'll just shout off some actors and then the role they play. Because if they know character, then okay. So I only had a few more. So one of them is if you're going to do Link to Past, you have Zora, who's like a mer person, like a almost half man, half animal kind of. I can't even describe. Like, trippy. But like they're part of it. Zora, yeah, King Zora. There's a king one who's in charge. And that'd be something you could do a mocap with and do like Benedict Cumberbatch or Jason Momoa. Or one that I was out of that was Jason Mantzoukas, who's the if you've watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine, He's the crazy partner of what's the name? What's the name of the one that? Oh, I can't remember her name now.
It's completely gone out of my head.
The Hispanic crazy cop woman is the one who's got the crazy curly hair and he's like does Rosa. Crazy things.
Rosa's
is Rosa's partner. Yeah. So basically, I thought he could be good because he's a bit. He's not wholly serious. It's a bit more character spaced. It's just he's in it as a bit of the story, and he's like he'd be a focal point for a big scene, possibly in the film. Navi, if we're going to go Ocarina of Time and have a Navi, I had you'd either have to have someone high pitched, so like a girl actor. I had Alana Phillips. If you look her up, she's just like a up and coming, young actress, 8 to 10. It has to be a high-pitched voice because Navi, essentially, tiny little thing, this thing above my head here. Like, you need to have a high-pitched voice because it needs to be something like that, like a fairy voice. But the other person I have who could do that role or could have a cameo is Zelda Williams, who's Robin Williams' daughter, because she was named after Zelda by him.
Yeah, that's right.
So that would be, I think for a lot of fans, that would be a nice little either cameo casting or a nice little nod to probably one of our best comics. If you go down Link to a Past, you have his uncle at the beginning who goes off. It's a small role, not first 20 minutes kind of role. But you want someone believable. I would have he's kind of like just a bit of fighting or possibly just involved in that. I go like someone like Viggo Mortensen.
Nice.
I even had Mark Hamill here as a possible Link's uncle because it's a small role. It's not a long role. It's not the Sean first Bean, 20 minutes. He's out. Sean Bean. Always a classic.
Yeah.
But like, no.
If he's going to get killed off, you've got to get Sean Bean, right?
Sean Bean.
Bean as Ganondorf.
Sean Bean as Ganondorf could work.
Get his villain claws out. What about Kenneth Branagh?
Well, Kenneth Branagh could do it. Kenneth Branagh could be the person as Ganondorf. He could do it. Just off his acting chops. You've got them in. If you go Link to a Past, you've got the first bad guy, like the wizard Aghanim, and he's like basically a wizard. So that would be for me a Gary Oldman or Michael Fassbender. Yeah. Would be basically he's like the halfway villain. It has to be someone with who's got villain chops, and Gary Oldman would smash it. He always does. And then you have essentially my last role before I do a couple of cameos is Agena or Sarsra. These like old wise men kind of thing role, like the good guys, but they're old wise men girls. And again, that can be a Gary Oldman role or it can be James Cromwell. And if you look at James Cromwell's face and look up Agena or Sarsra, you will see they look exactly the same from the game. Thin face, old. They could do that, and they're small roles, but they are roles that are necessary to the story. So they'd have some screen time with the main actors, and then the only couple of
James Cromwell. Just if you're not too familiar with the name, he was in Babe, Green Mile, L.A. Confidential,
Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
He's the uncle in Succession.
iRobot. He's been in loads of films. He's great. Yeah. The cameos I have are great because they're based on more commercially. So Zelda Williams, I talked about. One that's a bit interesting, apparently, Brie Larson apparently is a big fan. That might be a bit polarizing for people who don't like, for some reason, have this weird hate thing for her. But the two that I know that Ken will like, Cody Rhodes and Steve Austin, both confessed Zelda fans. In fact, Cody Rhodes has a Triforce symbol on his boots when he wrestles. And there's enough little cameo roles where they could take little roles. And they could either be the V in it or voice someone if it's a mocap or whatever. They could do little roles because I think they'd be game. And then you're also with Cody Rhodes, you're appealing to different demographic of people. And he would be up for it. And there's a classic, if you look at it, when he goes on Austin's, Cinco Steve Austin's podcast, he does quick fire questions. And one of the quick fire questions is best Zelda game. And Cody Rhodes is like, Ocarina of Time, hands down. And Austin's like, no, it ain't Breath of the Wild. It's before Tears of the Kingdom comes out.
Yes, I've seen that clip. Yes, it's all coming back to me now.
And so those would be my funny little cameos to have. There's not, the thing about Zelda is it's not a thing like Mario. You have to be someone like, I keep going back to him. You have to be someone like a Cavill who likes video games to want to be in a Zelda movie. It's not quite in the same zeitgeist as Mario is, I guess, is the way to say it. Mario would have had a lot more people going, oh, you know. But Zelda, yeah, those, that'd be my list of people that I could have in some key roles in A Link to a Past story adaptation, and a bit of Navi from Ocarina of Time.
All right, cool.
I'm out. Sasha, I'm spent.
Have you got mic drop? Sasha, have you got any other casting ideas?
Nah, just maybe get James Earl Jones as the tree. And
nice, yeah, or, yeah, classic. Get, add to his bow of influences. Yeah.
And then get like Gimli from The Lord of the Rings, John Rhys Davies as maybe the owl.
How haven't we got Liam Neeson in this? Liam Neeson needs to be the uncle, right?
He's another guy that could be Ganon.
if he's gonna teach Batman, and he's gonna teach Obi-Wan, he's got to teach Link, surely, so he can be the uncle, right?
He could be. You just need someone who's be a certain age who's going to go off and die. I said it
now. I said him as Ganon, and now I want him. But then
he's great. He'd be great. He'd do a great job because he gets the menacing, and he's just about the right age.
Mel could do it. But hold a second. We want people to come to the movie, man.
Well, look, maybe he might have the comeback with Lethal Weapon 5, and then we'll see. Because he's directing that, he's going to be in it. If that's a big hit, then yeah, maybe there's room for him. So, all right, cool.
One second, I had a final one, which is you could do as a Ganondorf. Maybe is Ian McShane. Ian McShane could do a Ganondorf.
Ian McShane.
He might. And, you know, the way. In a
series, yes. Maybe not the big bad in a movie because of the name.
You know what? But, like, you know what?
Especially if we're leaning on unknowns. So, you know.
Yeah,
I know. I agree with that. But, like, he could do. He'd be good. He has a character props for something else as well. Mm-hmm. He could be something else wrong. But the funny thing I was going to say was the only way I managed to look out with him is not to look up John Wick. Didn't look up John Wick. Mm-hmm. Didn't look up God's God's. I looked up Lovejoy, and that's how I found out. I remembered his name. That's how I. And the thing about it is, I'd still, just as a personal thing, still find it hilarious. So that I'm watching Lovejoy on screen, it just cracks me up.
Who'd you cast as Tingle?
Oh, don't start with Tingle. Don't start with Tingle. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Is he banned from the movie? Is he like the Jar Jar Binks or
Danny DeVito?
Danny DeVito. Yeah.
Maybe.
Joe Danny DeVito would be good as a voice. If he's doing voice acting, would be one of the the rock ones. What they're called again?
Gorgons,
whatever.
I'm just going to run through that when they were talking about this as a series on Netflix, they had all these AI generated images. So they had Tom Holland as Link. They had Emma Watson as Zelda.
Idris Elba as
Ganon, Jamelia Jamil as Ubosa. I think she's in the Hulk series. Then we've got Gemma Chan as the Great Fairy. She's in
Eternal. Great Fairy is Lady Gaga, man. I'm just saying.
Great Fairy is kind of
Danny DeVito as Tingle. They had Meryl Streep as Twin Rover. You had Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones as Saria. You had Sadie Sink from Stranger Things as Malon.
There's a lot of girl roles in them.
Is it Dampe or Dampy?
Yeah.
Steve Buscemi. Think...
Which one was Dampe? I can't remember.
You got to realize that this is. We've got
so
like,
many games. And it's so long ago. I can't remember who Dempe was.
One second. Dempe. Is he... I'm trying to look him up. I'm not quite working it. But you know what? I think this is the thing. It's just...
He's a mysterious old man who works as a gravekeeper.
Oh, the gravekeeper.
Yeah.
He's in the game for 2 seconds, man. Fuck that guy. He's a recurring character.
He's out. All right, cool.
Is he?
Okay. I think
the thing is that it very much relies on the game you go with or the story you go with, because you know what I've done is taken ones from Link to Past, because that's what I was looking at, and maybe Sasha's mm-hmm. also got Ocarina of Time. Ocarina of Time, even, like, that was a big game in terms of mm-hmm. actual space and stuff to do. You know, there was a lot going on in that game, far more than in Link to a Past. You know, there was just more to go and see, more to go and do. You know, there was just so much. And so, you know, apart from Zelda, a lot of the other bits of Zelda, apart from the main characters we talked about, are the creatures. You know, you're going to have skeleton dudes over here. You've got, you know, goblin-type creatures. You've got, finally, fire. If you go, you can go anywhere with this. You've got fire snakes, fire birds. You've got, you've got Jello. You've got dinosaurs. You've got fire-breathing dragons. Like, there are too many. There are too many monsters, creatures. You know, you got like walking Jello that eats your shield when it, like, it swallows you, and you can pop out and you're eating your shield. You've got like magicians that pop out and then disappear. Like, the list of, you got knights, you know, you got like, it's redonkulous. And I'm just talking about that. My experience is just 64 backwards. I'm not even talking about the creatures and stuff you get in Breath of the Wild or in Tears of the Kingdom. Like, I watch videos of people killing those things, and I'm like, what just happened? You know, if you go to, and Tears of the Kingdom has been quite funny for, like, he builds, uses the energy to build machines. So I see people walking around like these ATVs almost in Tears of a Kingdom. Was it my Breath of the Wild? Tears of Kingdom, Breath of the Wild. It's like, he uses the energy to make these like actual movable things. And it's just, you said trippy before, like, it's not even beyond trippy.
Yeah, look, if you don't understand, it's bigger
it's
than
a bigger universe than I have. Yeah.
I thought this was going to be a 45-minute podcast. I was like, we just chat about Zelda and not just out of the park and like an hour and a half in. So
I looked up this Lempy chap. He's not okay, so he's the great person in Ocarina of Time, and you know what, like, he's only in it for 2 seconds, so he's out. But then reoccur and stuff, but it's all the games I haven't played. And like, he's on Link's Awakening, which I have played, but he's only on the Switch version, and I don't have the Switch version, so fuck that guy.
All right,
if you're a Dempy fan, write in the comments, save his life from my version of Zelda. Just say why you like him. And Chris will play him if I made it, because he kind of looks like Chris. Just needs to shave his beard, have a shovel.
Old bald guy, shuffle hunched. Yeah, fine. Thanks, man.
There you go.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, look, thanks, guys. I feel well educated now on Zelda.
Play the first one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this movie now. So, because before I couldn't really care less, but now you guys got me excited. So what can I say? Look, thank you very much for listening and watching. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you're a fan of Zelda, let us know that some of the things we've missed, some things that you'd like to see in the movie, characters, casting, which game would you like to see interpreted, or what kind of mixture of it would you like to see? Do you want to see it done with flashbacks? You got a younger version, an older version, what do you want to see? Thanks very much for listening. Really appreciate it. As always, please make sure you hit that like and subscribe, and share this video with any gamers that you think might enjoy this. And if you're listening, please hit that follow button. We really appreciate all the support. Thank you, guys. Any last thoughts before we end today? Nope, that's it.
Nothing to say. Just make sure you get a master. I've got to move my head. Master Sword, key thing. Make sure you get in the movie.
So, if you're into retro gaming, please check out AntStream Arcade. It's a retro gaming streaming service that offers over 1,500 games online to play, all retro from PlayStation 1 and below. And the library is expanding every week, every Tuesday, with 2 new games and 1 new challenge a week. Challenges are part of AntStream's little thing. They take old games, they make brand new content and challenges, like high school challenges and that kind of thing, for people to play. There's online tournaments, so you can go and compete against other players around the world. And they have online leaderboards on all the games and all the tournaments and all the stuff, so you can compete with other players. It just released on Xbox, so you can play it on Xbox. You can play it on your PC, you can play it on your mobile phone, and you can play it on the web. If you have an Apple, I recommend using the web version, as there's no
current app on anything Apple just yet, but could be something that's in the pipeline in the future. Definitely check us out, and yeah, enjoy playing those retro games like Double Dragon and Samurai Showdown, and lots of SNK games, because they do have a big selection of SNK games from Japan that didn't necessarily make it to the East. So if you're a hardcore retro gamer and you know what I'm talking about, we got some, they got some good stuff.
It's a fantastic app. Like I say, it's retro gaming on the go. I've got the app on my mobile from the Play Store. Like you say, you can use it, you can check that, you can access it from a browser, andstream.com. Yeah, go for it. And the great thing about the challenges is once you challenge it, you can actually challenge a friend and you can ping them a message, and they'll get that email notification. Say, you know, I've got a free from Sasha. Sasha has challenged
What's
you.
What's the director of this movie called?
Yeah, no, good
Where's Ball?
Okay.
Yeah.
I got a last thought. Cool. Where's Ball? Don't drop the ball. Don't let this be short.
Yeah. Don't.
And the other guy, who's the writer?
Derek Connolly.
Yeah, you have one chance, man. You fucked up Star Wars. You darn fucked up Jurassic World. And I swear to God, if you mess up Nintendo, I swear to God, bro.
Metal Gear Solid coming next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pressure. Look, thanks very much for joining us, Chris. It was great to have you on. Really appreciate it, man. I'd love to see you back on the show again.
I want my guy's agent.
So, yeah, right? That's what I said. He knows people. Or he either knows people or he knows things about people. That's the way you move forward in Hollywood. But there we go. Yeah. Thanks very much. And until next time, guys, peace out.